You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? The madness is upon us. It's March, which means one thing.
The Cleveland Browns.
Fantasy baseball weekend, baby.
Yeah. It certainly is.
Sure. But it's also March Madness weekend, which I am extremely, extremely excited about. I spent my entire weekend watching a lot of college basketball, so now I think I know everything.
All right, so now you're good to go.
I'm ready to rock.
You ready to fill out your bracket? You got the show today at 4 p.m. Eastern
time? That's right, I do.
It's going to be a good time.
Absolutely.
I might come down here and enjoy that one live.
Really?
I might. Depending on what I'm doing.
You can watch it live on YouTube or listen to it live on the FNTSY radio as well.
It's going
to
be whatever I do is going to get done. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely. My name is Greg Sossman. I'm joined, of course, by the voice to my right, Corey Parson.
How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Did you watch this OJ thing last night?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I didn't need some lost tape to tell me you did it.
Yo, this was the wildest thing in the history of television.
Did he say I did it?
He might as well have.
So I refuse to, like, give this man any publicity. Yeah. So I was like, I'm not watching this. So literally, I just, honestly, we were eating dinner. I just had, like, American Idol on in the background, like, whatever. And Judy was like, ah, we have to turn on the OJ thing. I'm like, oh, no.
All right.
Absolutely.
I would have watched OJ over American Idol.
American Idol thing is an easy thing to have on the background. It's just like, whatever, who cares? What did he say? I didn't even look at it on Twitter.
Was just real weird. It was real creeped out. You know, he more or less was talking about some dude named Charlie that he saw there, and then he just started laughing all crazy. Then he started it went from being hypothetical. He started using words like I. And I was like, man, this dude is wild, yo. He's a wild joker. And this was taped in 1996?
2006.
In 2006.
2006. I remember. I distinctly remember it. It was my freshman year of college. I was sitting in my dorm, and I heard he was coming out with this book, If I Did It.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this dude serious?
He doesn't care. OJ don't have no cut.
And now Fox is just like, whatever.
We'll run the joint now.
Abel Dicas, sir, how are you?
I'm excited. We're going live this weekend in New York City. But before we get to baseball, I just tweeted out, I retweeted from David Payne Purdom.
Your boy.
The American Gambling Association estimates more than $10 billion will be wagered on the NCAA tournament this year, with only 3% taking place in legal environment.
How about that?
It's going to get legalized very soon.
That's why West Virginia is all ready to rock as soon as the New Jersey Supreme Court, rules on New Jersey. New York sounds like they're ready to rock, so...
That day is coming, so that'd be good. You know what I'm saying?
That day is coming.
We can bring it above ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Some people's going to stay underground, though.
It's going to be time.
Keep the community intact.
Absolutely.
The mass transit was horrible this morning.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Horrible.
Didn't they just hire some guy from Canada to come down to...
I don't know. I don't know if he can teach colonizers how to use the machines.
I think they do a pretty good job in Japan. Maybe we should have somebody from
Maybe so.
Let's take a break.
Let's do it.
When we come back, some major baseball signings over the weekend as well. I want to save the March Madness stuff for Jake because I know Jake really wanted to talk about it in hour number two. So we'll all get into March Madness hour two. But when we come back, Jake Arrieta has found a team. Lance Lynn has found a team. It's baseball.
Jarvis Landry has found the team.
A lot of people have found teams. We'll break it down next.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Deadlines spur action. The MLB season is 2.5 weeks away. And if you're not in camp, you're kind of like, oh, blank. I need to get paid. I need that bag.
You're 100% right about that.
It's like second in a month.
Exactly.
You're hitting that button, you're hoping it's there.
So these guys were just like, I better go do something. I better find
somebody to play for.
I better go find some work.
Yep, no doubt about that, because they're getting ready to do the opening day soon.
Exactly. So Lance Lynn, who wanted like a 4-year deal for, you know, a bunch of money, signed a 1-year deal.
For not as much money.
Yeah, I mean, for Lance Lynn, I wouldn't.
He looked overweight.
For Lance Lynn, I think that was fine. And going to the Twins waited and stuff. I would have liked to have seen them get Darvish. You know, I think they needed that power pitcher. But understandably, Darvish wanted the Cubs or the Dodgers or the Yankees. He wanted a whole high-profile team. So getting Lynn in here, Jake Odorizzi, another guy I'm really not a big fan of. But it's better than what they had.
It's way better than
so
what they had.
They've stepped that up. They added Addison Reed in the bullpen. Was it Zach Duke or somebody? They've added some pieces. So it's, to me, it's not great yet, but it's much better.
They added Logan Morris into the lineup. I mean, this team's gotten better.
I would have preferred Lucas Duda if I had the option between Morrison and Duda. I think Lucas Duda is a much better player.
I agree with that, but I give the Twins credit, Corey. The Twins never spent any money. And the fact that they went out and signed a dude like Lance Lynn who's going to just eat up innings, it's something.
Yeah, no, it's something. You get Lance Lynn, and then he goes to Minnesota, nice spacious ballpark, and he gets to chill and hang out with them in the locker room and go on road trips and stuff like that. He's a member of the team.
Tarjay Field.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually want to go to Tarjay Field.
I wouldn't mind either. Beautiful. It looks like a nice place to chill at.
Yeah,
and especially in the summertime. Summertime is probably a better time to go.
I think all things considered, they did the best. I mean, I know some people giving them like accolades. They were patient. They're waiting. Yeah, that's great. You know, I would have, like I said, I wanted a better piece, a bigger piece. I think they needed somebody like to really lead this rotation. I don't think they have that arm. But, you know, Berrios in the future could be that guy. I'm really not buying it for this year. I mean, I think it could happen. But I think maybe we're a year away from Berrios being a 1 or 2.
I think so, too. I mean, it's possible. I know people are certainly excited about Jose Berrios. They've been talking about that for quite a long time.
Barrios.
Indeed.
Shout out to the king.
Yes, indeed. Always shout out to the king.
The master of the pronunciation guy.
Absolutely.
And the only person who doesn't think the Seattle Seahawks are rebuilding. He thinks they're retooling.
The one thing I will say that really gives Lynn a bump here is this division. Outside of Cleveland, it's 3 rebuilding teams that he, you know, that they're going to face 19 times a year. So the AL Central, you got Cleveland, who is one of the best teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, top 4,
absolutely.
Top 5 at least.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that being said, the other teams are pretty much trash for 2018.
Yeah, I mean, the White Sox certainly on the right track.
Yeah, no, they're on the right track. But
with Jimenez and Michael Kopech, like they're on the right track, no doubt about it.
Even their hitters, yeah. I mean, Jose Abreu never gets enough credit. And they have a lot of young, upcoming guys, but there's a lot of swing and miss in that lineup, too.
Yeah, and no question about it. So the Central kind of is what it is, but I do respect the Twins doing something. Also doing something, the Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend. Now, you're laughing about that.
No, I saw this yesterday.
I think he's just proud that he knew about it. But Jake Arrieta, he wanted the big money contract as well. I will say this. Jake Arrieta got paid.
Like, you know, he did.
In an offseason where no one's getting paid, Jake Arrieta got paid.
What kind of money he got?
So the official deal is 3 for $75.
That's not bad.
Not at all. But
especially in baseball.
There's option years. There's
a buyout,
after. There's buyouts. This could turn out to be a 5-year, $130 million deal.
Good for Jake Arrieta.
So Jake Arrieta gets paid by the Philadelphia Phillies.
Is he their ace now?
He certainly is their ace now.
Aaron Nola's better than him, though. Let's go right out on a limb. I'll take bets right now.
So today, now that you know Jake Arrieta's, Jake Arrieta's team, you know the deal, you'll still take Aaron Nola before Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Arrieta's still not even in my top 20.
Okay.
Here's the thing with Arrieta. One, the fastball percentage over the last 2 seasons has drastically increased. When he was really good, it was like high 40s, 50% range. The last 2 years, it's been like 65, 64%. The problem is, if he gets this, however you want to classify it, slider, cutter, I mean, I think we more say cutter, But if he gets that feel back, because that's gone from almost 30% in 2014 and 15 down to, you know, 17.5%, 15% last year. That's his money pitch. That's where he gets people. After he gets people to swing and miss, he, you know, that's without that, he's not the same pitcher. And I know Florio tweeted out yesterday about, you know, Arrieta splits the first and second half. That second half, and look, all pitchers that did well in the second half, like Justin Verlander had like a 97.5% left on base. But Arrieta had like an 85% left on base and like a 240 BABIP. So if that continues, yeah, great. But it's, to me, even with a 45% ground ball percentage, it's really not a guy that I'm going all in on. I'm really targeting. You got nice prices on him prior to him signing yesterday. If he goes back up, I'm going to back away.
Yeah, all right. I agree.
I agree with Matt.
I agree with Matt. I agree with Ronis. Heard that for 7 years.
Now, I was always looking at Jake Arrieta's number as well, because Judy's family's a Phillies fan, has from Philly, and I send them this
does
thing.
Does she go to watch? Does she watch Philadelphia Phillies baseball on television?
No.
Okay. I like the bank. Very nice park.
Beautiful.
It's
park.
A nice. It is a nice ballpark.
See, you can walk around. And
huh?
You see,
have you been there?
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a nice job.
It's cool.
Not the people, not so much.
Yeah, so I was looking at Arrieta's numbers, and you look at the XFIP in the fifth, even in that second half, and Frank and I went over this morning before the show, and way over four, despite the 2+ ERA in that second half. I talked about the fastball percentage. You talked about the fastball percentage, I should say, being down. That wasn't so good. And then you also look, I was looking at the hard hit percentage, and last year was the highest of his career at 29%, which is way higher than any time in his career. So people are just seeing the ball better, Jake Arrieta, and making really, really good contact against
him. Yeah, and look, if the team that had him really wanted to keep him, they had that option. I mean, they could have worked out a deal similar to this and probably kept him. They went with Darvish, which I would have done. And, you know, Darvish's deal in the second half is not going to look pretty, I don't think. I don't think he's going to age that well. But, you know, the Phillies are a team. I think they're better than the Mets, hands down. And, look, if Arrieta can give them close to 200 innings and, like, a 375, 380 ERA, then it's all good. Because, first of all, you're going to need the innings from him. It stretches out their rotation. I get it. I mean, I wasn't crazy about giving Carlos Santana $20 million.
Well, and you see this a lot with teams that are rebuilding. They have to overpay to go get people to come mm-hmm. there. And I understand that. But kind of like with the Browns, Corey, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you have not a regime before you, but like, so much of this, I do want to talk to you about this. All the love Friday evening, because this all broke down Friday night when Frank and I were at a bar. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And all this love for Sashi Brown and what he did with the draft picks, and a lot of the narratives, John Dorsey kind of threw it away for middling talent. Now, with Philadelphia, I'll get into the Browns in a little bit. But when it came to Philadelphia, they kind of rebuilt. They traded away Cole Hamels, and they traded away, you know, all these other guys, traded away Ken Giles to Houston. Yeah. And they replenished their farm system. And instead of kind of waiting for all of these guys to naturally come up together and be like Houston or be like Chicago,
put a couple of pieces around now,
yeah,
you know
did.
What I mean, and try to see if you can be relevant on August 1st. You feel what I'm saying?
But is that the smart thing to do?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
You, I mean, they know that they know their bottom line. They got that stadium. And like I said, if they can stay relevant until August 1st, that's a win. And I think with the pieces they put around, they probably can do that.
Yeah,
all these deals are top heavy.
Definitely. And you're seeing that a lot. Just paying these guys up front so you can get out of the deal if necessary, or they make more tradable. Matt mentions you overpay for Carlos Santana. You overpay for Jake Arrieta. Well, we're not sure anyone else is in the market for Jake Arrieta. So you're overpaying these guys. You look at this lineup, and Frank has said it a lot. I have said it a lot. All the BFFs have. That Philadelphia lineup is pretty good.
Like, and Nando says it's boring.
Oh, you know what? Oh, well.
And Scott Kingery, who's just starting the minors.
And Scott Kingery starting in the minors, right? So there's more talent on the way. It's like the lineup's pretty good. You get an ace, which I know you don't like him, but Jake Arrieta is an ace at this point in his career. Plus Aaron Nola. You have two guys at the top of that rotation. I know people like Vinny Velasquez, who is talented. So it's like, okay, there's something here. Now, I don't know that you do this now, Corey. Like, you invest in Arrieta now. Like, I might wait to see if you have something and do it next year in that awesome free agent class. But Philadelphia's taking a shot now, and you said you can't blame them.
Yeah, I can't blame them. They got to make it. They got to make it happen any way they can. They see an opportunity. Go for it.
All right, we're taking a break here. When we come back, let's get into some of these terrible teams that have players that we probably should look at for fantasy. We're going live this weekend. Do the Marlins have anybody fantasy relevant? We'll try to answer that question when we come back next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Hello, YouTube. Welcome inside Studio 34 on a Monday. This is the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. That is Wall Street Matt Modica. My name is Greg Sussman. Baseball, as Matt Modica likes to say, it goes live this weekend. We are in the heart of draft month, the heart of draft season, and we are here to help you. And in order to do that, I get it. People want to look at the best teams. It's where you find wins. It's where you find a billion runs scored. That's where you find excitement. But those aren't the only places to look. We'll say it in football, and we say it in baseball, too. Even the terrible teams are going to do something. The worst team in the league may be the Miami Marlins. They're awful. They traded everybody away to try to save some money. The old producers. Route. Now, the thing is, even if the Marlins are as terrible as we expect, they're not going to win zero games this year. It's not going to happen. Now, I don't know what the over-under is in Vegas, but the what was that?
I think it's 79.
79? Really?
I might be wrong on that.
Really?
Is that too high?
Yes.
Check and see.
Whoa.
For the Marlins.
Yeah, the Marlins, I'll be lucky if they win 60.
Okay.
That's like the...
All right, according to the... website I have up here, the over-under win total for the Marlins is 64.5.
Sorry. Looking at the wrong team. That must be the Mets.
I think it is the Mets. I think the Mets are 79, right?
Yeah, I think Pecota had them at like 81 and the Phillies at 78. This is before the Arrieta signing.
Sure.
But I would have flipped those even prior to that.
Okay. So anyway, 64.5 is the over-under for the Marlins. Let's say they win 60 games. That means they're still going to win 60 games. They're still going to have to find a way to win 60 games. And even in the 100 that they lose, they're not going to lose every game 1-0 or 10-0. They're going to score runs. But who? How? Where? That's the question we have to answer. Matt Modica, the Marlins traded away everybody last year who was relevant, right? Giancarlo Stanton, Christian Yelich, Marcell Ozuna, D. Gordon. The top four hitters in their lineup no longer exist. Now, I look at this team, and I said it late last week, and I'll bring it up again. I was like, all right, maybe start on Castro, batting third, playing second base. Okay, that's not terrible. And I'm like, behind him, Justin Bour at cleanup. Okay, he got hot for a time last year. In front of Starlin Castro in the third spot, batting second, JT Realmuto. He's a top catcher. If Lewis Brinson winds up leading off, I could talk myself in there. There is some talent of some sort here on the Marlins. I mean, this isn't a team that you should completely avoid, right?
No, I mean, look, bad teams are going to win games. They're going to score runs. And I always hear, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. People are like, well, if it's a bad team, they don't have to pitch to this guy. Okay, look. If they're bad, they should be behind. They're going to get plenty of opportunities. So you're 100% right. If Realmuto, who I would think at some point closer to the trade deadline, look, the Marlins just can't be giving people away. They did that with Stanton, and I thought they should have got more for Ozuna. But now they'll have some chips here. JT Realmuto is a sought-after commodity. So they can probably get something nice for him.
Sure.
Just wait. You know, don't just trade to make a trade. Justin Bour, if somebody needs a first baseman. Or so, Justin Bour is a good hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to bat 290, but in what, 100, just over 100 games last year. He hit 25 homers and stuff. He can hit home runs in any park. He's shown that. So, yeah, Bour, if he's my late first baseman or my corner, I mean, preferably my corner if I'm having it at that route, I'm fine with it. You know, I know he had a little back issue. His back stiffened up over the weekend or something like that. I don't think it's anything major. Starling Castro, to me, the thing about Castro, and I don't like to say this about people, but he's a guy that really turned things around. But he's a bit of, it seems to me like, he could become a malcontent kind of easy, and I don't think he wants to be here. You put him on a different team, I think maybe he's got a better mindset, and he's a better player. But top of the lineup, whether it's Brinson or Maben, you can get speed there.
Absolutely. Those are just guys that are, for lack of a better term, they're not useless. There is something there with the Miami Marlins. I know you want to ignore them in the drafts. I know every time you get to them, Justin Bour being a prime example, you look at that and I'm like, all right, I should go in a different direction. The Marlins stink. I know that. And I think the same can be said for Starling Castro. Like, there's nothing wrong with Starling Castro, Matt.
There's nothing wrong with him, but he's like a reserve round pick. Or if you really just punted middle and you needed somebody, there's probably guys I might go with the upside over him. For the reasons I stated.
Yep.
And as far as the pitching goes, the one pitcher I'd really be interested in is Drew Steckenrider, whatever the hell his name is.
Sure.
He's probably going to be the guy that's going to be closing at some point. They want to showcase.
Not Ziegler. Kyle Barraclough?
I think it's going to be Ziegler. Kyle Barraclough, just, you can't be having a walks per nine of like 5 or 6. I mean, I don't care how many guys you can strike out. If you're putting that many people on base, until he makes that improvement, I think he gets jumped here. But, you know, they need to just keep building and making these trades. And, you know, they tore it down. Okay. It's unfortunate for people in Florida because you got Tampa and Miami who are both
tearing it down. Tearing it down, yeah. Now, it's brutal when you're a fan. But the Rays are another example. A team that's going to be bad. But I talked a lot about on this show about a guy like Malik Smith, who I really like and a lot of people in this industry really like. CJ Cron, I've said that before, I like. Chris Archer's fine. Like, there are guys on these two Florida teams that are worth drafting.
Well, Archer's really polarizing for me.
I know, he's polarizing for everybody in this industry.
Because he's going to get traded. That's just going to happen. He's such a valuable chip for them. And once they committed to this teardown, it just makes too much sense for them to trade him now. He's got a very friendly contract, which makes him even more valuable. So, it's kind of a catch-22 because he's so good at the trap. But, you know, that American League East is pretty ferocious to have to pitch in. So, if he came to the National League or something, I mean, to me, the Dodgers just make too much sense. But if he came to the National League on a winning team there, I mean, you really got to like that ability because he's going to strike. The strikeouts are going to be there. You think the ratios get even better. He just needs to pitch to his peripherals. That's been the problem. You know, even though he's had a 4 ERA or greater the last two seasons, his peripherals have been fine. I mean, they're why people keep going back in. It's not just strikeouts. They see the strikeouts, and you're like, if he can get to a 360 ERA, you're like, this is a hell of a pitcher.
Corey, let me ask you this then. When you see these guys on bad teams, and we've talked about it in football before with like the Browns, I knew obviously you were a big Isaiah Crowell guy going into this year. Now, do you shy away from guys on bad teams?
It's totally different in football because the quarterback is so much of what the offense is trying to do. And if the quarterback is bad, then it just all starts to fall apart if the offensive line is bad. There really is no offensive line in baseball. And I guess you can say, like, unless the pitching is terrible, you know, but you still have something on the offensive side of the ball. So a lot of times you'll get these players at discounts, and there's always going to be a player on the team that, okay, if the team is winning, this is the reason why
right. You
want to have that player.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. Now, are the Marlins or Rays one of those situations where you'll have a mini run here? Probably. I mean, it's baseball. It's a long season. It's 162 games. So they're going to go on a run at some point. Even the worst team in the league is going to win 60 games. So there is talent to be had. Matt gave a good example of whoever's leading off in Miami is probably going to run wild, Cameron Maben or Lewis Brinson. There's value there. There's talent there. I think the same could be said for the Rays, whoever's leading off between Carlos Gomez and and Malik Smith, right? Like, there's something there. Speaking of leading off, I think you have to talk about the Rangers then, who announced yesterday that Delino DeShields is the everyday center fielder and the leadoff hitter. There's something there, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Delino DeShields, you got to like better than all those leadoff guys we mentioned in Florida, Chris. If he does get the at-bats, 50 really is possible, as his manager said. And it's... I think this is like the last year of Globe Life, or maybe one more year. But whatever. That park, it's not what it used to be as far as, you know, it used to be like a great hitter's park. It's still a very good hitter's park. Their pitching's atrocious, but they have guys in the lineup that can hit. He's going to run wild. They want him to run. So he's a guy you're going to see this week move up even further. I mean, with people were on him already, but with this confirmation and stuff, it's really going to take off. And he's a guy that... He's somebody that, say you're paying 10th round in a 15-teamer now, you're going to be paying up a round or two on him. But as just to get back real quick to the guys in Florida that you mentioned, like leading off and stuff, these guys are cheap, too.
Exactly.
It's not like you got to go in and commit. If Cameron Mabin's terrible and gets hurt like he always does, it didn't wreck your
cost
team.
Cost you anything.
You know, Malik Smith, you know, if he can hit and get on base, it didn't cost your team, you know.
Absolutely, and I think that's another thing we have to stress. Like, these guys on these bad teams, nobody wants them. And even if you were interested in a Cameron Maven or Malik Smith or Carlos Gomez or what have you, they don't cost you anything. So if it works out great, you found these steals in the 19th, 20th round of your draft. If they don't, you cut them and you move on. And you don't talk to me about cutting somebody. I love cutting people. I do it all the time.
Yeah,
I lost my 6th-round pick day 2 last year.
And say you're in like a 12-team league with 23 rounds and stuff. And say some of these players don't get drafted.
Yeah.
I hate using the term watch list or whatever. But, you know, you have these guys to look at. You know, maybe somebody you drafted got hurt late, you know, at the end of camp or something. Or you drafted your team and you're like, you know what, I'm lacking in speed. There's a couple of guys to take a shot on. You know, you take a flyer on these guys. And or you drafted that pitcher that didn't make the rotation or whatever. It doesn't end at the draft.
It does not end at the draft. He's absolutely right. I'm not a huge watch list guy either, because you can put everybody on your watch list and it means nothing. But these types of players that you thought about drafting, but for whatever reason you didn't pull the trigger, those are guys, these are the beginning of the year, I do put on a list and I follow. Especially guys that I'm very, very close to drafting for whatever reason. I absolutely put them on a list, and I hope. Let's take a break here, everybody. When we come back, we talk about the bad teams in baseball, the Marlins, the Rays, and finding talent there. Let's move on to the NFL, because the Cleveland Browns have been bad for so long, and this is the perfect example of these types of teams. But they try to change it around with a quick fix, a Band-Aid. Is that working? Was that the right move? We'll ask the fantasy executive when we return here on FST.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Check out Fantrax.com, where you can create the ultimate dynasty keeper or redraft fantasy league using Fantrax's free commissioner products. Find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus player salary and contract options at your fingertips, all of which are fully customizable. And with Fantrax's treasurer, you can set league fees and safely distribute payouts without a third party, so you don't have to track down owners for payment. And a promo code AL, that's A-L, at sign up for a chance to win 10 private consultations with Fantasy Baseball Hour host, Al Melchior.
Got to get Al Melchior on the radio with us this week so I can ask him about his deal with Fantrax.
It's $109 value that you can get for free when you use the promo code AL, as in Al Melchior. Find out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports. Check out Fantrax.com today. All right, Corey, I mentioned the Marlins and the Rays, and before that, the Phillies, and how they went and signed Carlos Santana.
Yep.
And they went and signed Jake Arrieta, and they went for this quicker fix approach. They were rebuilding and doing it slowly but surely, and then they kind of jumped the gun a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, the Cleveland Browns, over the last 2 years, have won one game.
That's with one coach.
With one coach. They are 1-31.
Yes.
In the last 2 seasons.
He's got his own day.
He does.
31.
The general manager previously, over the last 2 years presiding, was Sashi Brown. Now, Sashi Brown is an analytics guy.
Yeah.
He brings in Paul DePodesta from the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets. Brings him in, a numbers guy. And all they did was kind of do what they did in baseball, right? Like, you traded for Brock Osweiler's contract to go get a second-round pick. They were able to use all the salary cap maneuvering to acquire more picks. And they were just loaded and loaded with picks and loaded with all this cap space. And they were set up financially and with draft stock in the future to theoretically be pretty damn good. Theoretically. Of course, none of it matters when you don't have a quarterback, and I understand that. But Sashi Brown put them in a position to have options and to be good. Sashi Brown was fired before the last week of the 2017 season, replaced by John Dorsey, former general manager in Kansas City, who, despite some very nice draft picks, have put Kansas City, you know, in some salary cap hell. Now, how much was John Dorsey? How much was Andy Reid? I can't answer that. But John Dorsey was the general manager. Now, with this cap space and with these draft picks, John Dorsey went out and went wild this past Friday afternoon. Yeah. He got a little drunk at happy hour, and he made some moves.
I think they were good moves, though.
I'm just laying it out. Mm-hmm. Acquired Jarvis Landry from the Miami Dolphins. Did not extend him yet. $16 million or so as a franchise tag. And sent a couple draft picks to Miami for that. Jarvis Landry was asked about the trade. He's like, I'm happy to go to a stable quarterback. I'm like, wait a minute, you're going to Cleveland, dude. Half hour later, they sent the 65th overall pick to Buffalo for Tyrod Taylor. And you're like, 65th pick? You could have sent the 165th pick. But that's what they did, Buffalo. Half hour later, Green Bay, who doesn't really do much of anything, but now has new general manager since Ted Thompson retired, and Brian Gutekunst, he traded away Demarius Randall, his arguably best cornerback, for a backup quarterback in last year's second-round pick, Deshaun Kizer, which probably spells the end for Brett Hundley. Cleveland did a lot in an hour, happy hour, on Friday afternoon. And from my Twitter, Corey, much of it was like, John Dorsey, you just effed everything Sashi Brown just did over the last 2 years. Now, there's other people like Matt Modica saying, listen,
they made a run for it.
You got all the space. You have all these picks.
You can't hold on to it.
What are you going to do? Never use it?
You can't take it to the grave.
They still have four of the top 35 picks. Absolutely. It's not like they don't have any more draft picks.
Absolutely. I'm just describing to you what people are saying. Now, there's a lot of people in that camp saying you just effed everything Sashi Brown set up. And there's people in Matt Modica camp said, listen, you have picks. You have space. What are you going to use it for a player?
You can't take it with you. You can't take them with you. Listen, what they did right here was very aggressive movement. And now you have a situation where Hugh Jackson has no excuses now.
None.
Because now you got the team around you. Listen to the players on the offense right now. Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon, and Corey Coleman are your wide receivers. And they're still rumored to be hot on the trails, Allen Robinson. Right, you have a top five offensive line. Joe Thomas definitely coming back. You got a very serviceable quarterback who just took a team to the playoffs in the AFC. Not to mention the fact you're about to have Saquon Barkley in the backfield.
Potentially,
third down, they're going to take Saquon Barkley with number one pick now. The Giants are on the clock. You got Njoku from last year. This offense is put together right now. They got some nice pieces. This is a second place team in the AFC North right now. They are only the Pittsburgh Steelers better than them in that division. I like the moves. Hugh Jackson, you have no excuse now. You got to go coach these dudes up. So. They have a very, they can compare at skill positions on offense with every team in the AFC.
Look, they made a lot of moves, but they got guys back like Jarvis Landry, whether it's going to be Taylor, you know, having the reins for this season, like the transition guy, they got the number one, the number four pick. They can take Barkley and the quarterback. Mm-hmm. They can take Barkley and Fitzpatrick. I think they do need to get a quarterback here for the future. They can't be doing, they can't be keep passing on quarterbacks every year. But at some point, you got the draft capital in order to make moves like this.
Right.
And what they did with the Packers, that's a nice deal. This is a good defense. Problem, and I said it time and time again, problem last year was defense was on the field way too much and in terrible circumstances. So, and like Corey said, Joe Thomas coming back, that's, you know, he probably wasn't coming back. But now after these moves, you know, this is like, this is a team. And Corey said second place. I can see that for them. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be the best team in the league now and all that, but they're making dramatic steps, and they still have draft capital going into April. So, I mean, you don't want to just draft all these college players again.
Sure.
You know, you need to have some proven guys. Jarvis Landry, for what he does, you know, my only problem with Landry and Tyrod Taylor is I've watched a lot of Tyrod Taylor. I think he's a good quarterback. I think the intermediate pass is where he has struggled. So, but look, Jarvis Landry, you know, if you're open, and which he usually gets open, that's the quarterback's best friend.
You know, I look at this, and I know everybody believes it's a foregone conclusion. They now go Barkley in the first round with a first overall pick. But listen, this team still needs a quarterback. And Tyrod Taylor is great for 1 year, and then it's over. The contract's out. That's it. So they still need a quarterback.
Draft him at four. Yeah. You don't let Charles Saquon Barkley sit there, and you got this team that you're putting together, and you gonna go, and you got a chance to get a generational back to put behind this offense you put together with these wide receivers, where you can't. Then you put a running back behind in that mix too with a mobile quarterback. This team scored 30 points a game easily with Saquon Barkley.
Would you?
It makes no sense.
Cousins?
No, Cousins is too expensive, and I think Cousins is a trap.
I mean, but they got tons of money. They had all this money.
True, you know, I feel you on that.
And I'm just saying, like, say you get Landry. You got Coleman and Gordon, and you know, an up and coming tight end.
Yeah,
who got better as the season went on. Even pass blocking, and you know, in the end zone, he was open a lot. I mean, he got himself open there. He became a target. But like Corey says, I think everybody's on that they're going Barkley one, right? So at four, you have the choice of Darnell, Rosen, or Mayfield. I mean, you don't like any of those three.
But that's not really how it works, right? Like, theoretically, you have a quarterback board. And I'm assuming the quarterback is, say what you want about Saquon Barkley, quarterback is the most important position in the world. You need to find your quarterback. They're going to have these quarterbacks ranked that, like, you're going to like one of them more than the other. You're going to like Saquon, you're going to like Sam Darnold more than Rosen, or Rosen more than Mayfield, or Mayfield more than Josh Allen, or Josh Allen more than Lamar Jackson, whatever. That's, like, extremely strong. The quarterback position, as unbelievable as Saquon Barkley is, the quarterback position is more important.
And these guys suck.
I don't know that they do.
This? If the Browns say they valued Darnold, Rosen,
right,
or Mayfield, one of those guys greater than the other two.
Yes.
They could always move up two spots and make a move. And they have the fourth pick. So somebody they don't need to do something crazy like the Bears did. But I'm sure a team would maybe take a step back if they weren't in love with the quarterback.
Sure.
Or say like the Giants wanted to take Giants want to move back in the draft. I'm just making things they can do.
Yes.
Hypotheticals like OJ.
Yes. Yes. Okay. If that's the case, Matt, I'm fine with it. Right? But if you can't, in my opinion, take Barkley at one and leave two spots to take the quarterback. Because if you want Sam Darnold, for instance, he's going to go before you go.
No, you're right. I mean, if he's that high on their board.
Right.
But being that they have the fourth pick.
Right.
They can move up and give up, you know, another fourth and, you know, whatever, third. This and that, whatever they got to do. They can be creative.
Yes.
I don't see that, like, being a roadblock.
But somewhere the Bills are coming. The Bills are coming somewhere.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe the Bills offer them, both their picks, the 21st and 22nd, throw in a third rounder.
Absolutely.
Got the other one they have, or something like that. I mean, there are possibilities here. I mean, for me, I like what they did because, look what they gave up to get players. Nobody has more catches than Jarvis Landry. Okay? And they don't care if they're short little passes and stuff, but that helps move the chains. And when you have Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman on the outside and an up-and-coming tight end like Njoku, and then you put a Barkley back there, I mean, even Tyrod Taylor can make this, you know, you could possibly make a playoff run for a wild card.
But
I mean, that's, you know,
say a lot, of course. Of course. But They have provided a lot of skill position players, as Corey said, for Hugh Jackson. Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Tyrod Taylor now at quarterback. I'm sure another handpicked guy by Hugh Jackson.
I mean, how
he chose Tyrod over AJ McCarron.
I mean, how long can you suck for? I mean, look, seriously, how long? I mean,
let me tell you something.
Tim Couch, we can go back to.
If this team starts 0-2, Hugh Jackson needs to be gone by week 3. I'm not playing this game with Hugh no more. You got your team now, Hugh. Let's do it.
We'll see if they wind up drafting Saquon Barkley there. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a couple more things before we get to March Madness with Jake in hour number 2. Stick around. FST on FNTSY.
Calling all drivers. Want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
Before we move on to college basketball, I want to stick with the NFL and talk about something we were just talking about during the break.
Yeah.
And that was Odell Beckham in the video that also came out on Friday.
Yeah, your man Odell, celebrity athlete, he got to do a better job than that. So Odell has a brown cigarette.
I'm sure it was a Black and Mild.
Yeah, it could have been a Black and Mild or you know, maybe it was a marijuana cigarette. Yeah, and there you go. Las Vegas, I don't know. So Odell has a brown cigarette.
Yes.
It's a girl and with him, a young lady in the room with him.
Yes.
And she appears to have some sugar booger, you know what I'm saying, available for her.
It's been snowing recently.
Yes, it has been snowing. You never know. Something could have dropped into the hotel room when they were at.
There's been some snow recently.
So it's Odell and this woman.
Yes.
Whatever. And then Odell is shunning the woman, sending the woman away. Like, I guess he was tired. I don't know. Maybe he was working out or something.
Exhausted.
A long day of being
Who knows how long they've been hanging out.
Exactly. You know? A long day of being a celebrity athlete, so you hear Odell's voice. So Odell is more than likely going to come out and say, this is old news, this is an old video, it's been out there.
She already came out and said very clearly this was last week.
I just hope Bravona takes this out to keep it on the down low.
Yeah. Now, with this being said, she also taped him sleeping, whatever. I guess, you know, like I said, a long day for Odell. But Odell Beckham is a celebrity athlete. He's incredibly immature.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Giants are going to do with this guy.
I don't know.
You're
either.
Expecting big money. You're expecting to be paid quarterback money, but you got videos like this surfacing. It's not a good look. Odell needs to do what I slammed Russell Wilson for doing last year. The NDA. He needs to start walking around with them joints in his pocket.
You're right, man.
He needs to be an NDA guy.
Like, this isn't, like, there's a lot of players, listen, when he was smoking the blunt, like, everybody in the NFL is smoking blunts, right? Like, let's just call it out for what it is.
And not the NFL either. Yeah.
And not the NFL either, for sure. Let's call it out for what it is, right? Yeah. Some 80%, 90%, whatever it is.
Medical marijuana.
Our strong percentage of players are
recreational marijuana.
Are smoking weed.
Yeah.
So I don't care that he's smoking the blunt.
Yeah, and the problem is, look, whether you're for or against marijuana, that's not even. It's whatever. Legal in how many states now?
Sure. I mean, it might have been legal. I think that was, he was in Europe. It might have been legal where he was. I mean, it might have been in Amsterdam. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, whatever. I don't care about that. To me, it's, you want to be the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL, you got to do a better job.
You want to get quarterback money. Quarterbacks don't do stuff like this.
You don't get caught doing stuff like
this. They don't, yeah, exactly. You're right. They don't get caught.
Joe Flacco doesn't do this.
the fact is, you want to be the highest paid Giant, the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL, the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the NFL.
He needs to get good.
Be smarter.
Exactly. He needs to get better people around him.
Correct.
He needs to hire Maverick Carter. He needs better. He needs better people around him, Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham don't have a no man. He got a whole bunch of yes men. He needs a no man.
100%.
He honestly needs somebody to like slap him straight.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Corey, but funny. Yeah, you use the words.
Do you think this cost him money?
I think the Giants are going to try to make sure that this costs the money. If I'm the Giants, I would too. You talking about coming in here looking for $20, $25 million, I'll give you $17.
Right.
But what about, I'm not going to play for $17? I, you might have a marijuana suspension coming. I don't know what's going on in your background.
Mike Evans,
why would you use this against him?
Mike Evans signs that $82.5 million deal, like $17 a year. You know,
$55 and guaranteed.
So Odell's obviously going to want to surpass that.
Odell's going to want $20.
Here's the flip side on why I think you got to give him, you got to get this done because you got a new GM. You don't want this to linger. You don't want the distraction. If you believe he's your guy, you give him the money. Otherwise, you got
to
trade him.
But how do you? But how do you give it to him right now? Like this is the last thing people have seen is that video.
Yeah, you got to
do it right now.
It's got to be this time next year. Hopefully, after
he holds out.
After a good season. Well, he's going to hold out. I mean, he's not going to show up this year anyway.
No.
But then when it's time for the extension next year, around this time next year is when you need to start having serious talks with Beckham.
Before
about
or after
the kind
you franchise
of money.
Him.
After you franchise him.
Okay.
So there you go right there. That's how they got to play it right there. And then you figure it out. But you cannot trade the best offensive player in the history of your organization.
You really can't do it. Absolutely. All right.
He's got him hostage.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get into the bracket a little bit. Madness is upon us. March Madness talk on the other side here on FST.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, live here with you, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman, and right now we welcome in the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
How's it going, Greg?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm still doing well. This says 5 seconds ago when you asked the first time.
We got this Jake today.
I like it. Let's get this going.
Okay. Ready? That's how this is working, huh? I'm doing well, man. Thank you. You know what? I'm not going to say, oh, well, this is the last time you asked me last hour. All right, Jake. March Madness. The brackets are out. I got to start here.
With the broadcast?
With the broadcast. Well done. Exactly. Corey. Did you watch?
I did not see it, but it was all the rage.
All the rage.
But I read about it, and why'd they change it up, and what exactly were they doing?
It was so bad.
Turner did this, right?
So
normally does a good job.
No, they don't.
They do with the NBA.
Inside the NBA is fantastic. But like when they have like their when they got like the baseball coverage.
I like their baseball coverage.
I feel well, now you do, but it's taken years. Like when it was originally like Chip Carey not getting anything right.
Okay.
That wasn't so good.
No.
They've had terrible awful graphics or there's something that was like so-and-so was the first out. Oh, it was Tyler Naquin a couple years ago for the Indians. The first outfielder to start a game for the Indians in 75 years. That doesn't sound right. I don't understand. So it's stuff like that Turner has consistently gotten wrong. They try to make it too complicated. And we've constantly seen tweaks to Selection Sunday. I got to be honest with you. It doesn't need tweaks.
It doesn't. It never did.
There are no tweaks needed for Selection Sunday. We just want to see the bracket unveiled. You'll find out what teams are out. We'll all bitch about the matchups, and that's it.
Let's go to Dick Vitale, and then boom, it's over. It's an easy show to pull off.
It's a great hour. We're all happy. We all complain about the committee, but we don't complain about the broadcast. It's so easy. And yet, Jake, Turner effed it up.
In so many ways, too. You know what it is, though, Greg, is the reason they did this is because they got screwed last year with the sneak preview or reveal or whoever found the inside information and exposed the brackets. That's why they did this. Is this the entire reason they did this is because they didn't want the 40th minute of their show. All of a sudden, everybody already knows who's in and who's not in. And I think that's what they did. They panicked and they came up with this terrible, god-awful solution, which was just miserable. Not only we wasted thank you to Kenny, by the way, who said it on the broadcast. Or not Kenny, the other one.
Charles?
No, it wasn't Charles. It was
Clark
the two
Kellogg?
People who were doing it.
Thank
you, Clark Kellogg. Yeah, Clark Kellogg. He said, it should take 10 minutes, and even at the end of it admitted, it was like that was more like 13 minutes. That was 13 minutes.
It was Ernie. Ernie said that.
Ernie who said it. Yeah. So it was 13 minutes of recapping the automatic seeds alphabetically, which we already knew the night before, except for three teams, which we found out 2 hours before this happened anyway.
It was so absurd. I'm going to get more into this also and point out something about this broadcast that I know Corey will find interesting too. It's so ridiculous. Everything about it, we're going to break it down. Then we'll get into the bracket. March Madness is upon us, people. We'll be back on FST right after this.
Skick's sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skick's canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skick's helps fans perform better. Go to Skick's.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skick's.com. Skick's sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Okay, back here with you and Al, Fantasy Sports Today, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, and Matt Modica. Let's get into a little bit more of Madness. Let me describe to everybody what happened, if you didn't see it. So normally what happens is there's four regions, right?
Yeah.
Right? They reveal all the number one seeds,
mm-hmm.
and then they go, all right, let's go to the one where Virginia's the number one seed, and they'll go through the bracket and be like, oh, wow, there are seven seeds. They're tall. Wow, okay. Yeah. And they'll analyze that for a little bit. And they go to another region, and we'll all complain that they took so long to get through region after region, but that's how they do it, and we're all fine with it, right? Like, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So as Jake stated a moment ago, what they did last night was they started with the 32 teams that already are in, alphabetically. They're like, oh, but we know that.
There's no excitement here.
You're not telling
we know that Murray, we know that Murray State's in.
Like, why are you doing that?
Why are we starting with Murray State anyway? And why is it in alphabetical order?
All in alphabetical. So then you get to the unveiling of the people, of the teams that the 36 teams that had at large bids. And again, it's alphabetical.
It's alphabetical
so
order.
So this whole drama is if like someone like Arizona State was one of the first bubble teams. A lot of people had them out. But literally, 1 minute into doing this, we knew they were in.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, wait a minute. That's the drama. Is Arizona State in? And they're just going through it. Their graphic just appears on the screen. And that was it. And then later on, Syracuse's name appears on the screen. And that's it. And we're like, what is going on? So they do that, as Jake said, for the first 13 minutes of the broadcast. And you're sitting here like, What did I just watch? It was horrible. So then they do the regions, right? You don't know who's in. So all the drama of who's in, who's out, you know it all already. Now it's just about matchups. Okay, fine. You're still watching. So they had four analysts. So Ernie was doing half of it, and Greg Gumbel was doing the other half.
Yeah.
Right? So they had four analysts. Seth Davis, Clark Kellogg, Charles Barkley,
and Kenny DeJet.
Right. Seth Davis is whatever. But the other three guys, Charles, Kenny, and Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State, Auburn, UNC.
Yeah.
Right? Whichever analyst was doing that bracket, that's where their school was! And you knew it! As soon as they introduced Clark Kellogg from Ohio State, you knew Ohio State was going to be in that region!
Yeah, no, it's NCAA Tournament Bracket Selection Sunday. If it's not broke, don't fix it. This is classic trying to take something that's been done the same way for years and turn it around and do it somewhere differently. A little bit trying to get a little bit too cute and fancy. Sure. And then they had a live audience for this.
So I always thought, all right, so I actually thought the studio audience was a good idea. In theory, it was not. it was just like very awkward random cheering.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need your opinion, random audience who was probably paid to go there. Like, wearing their makeup to see where Missouri's going to go? Come on, Jake!
Well, there would definitely play some fans in there, too. Because did you see, like, the Gonzagas and the Murray State section fan? Like, really? Yeah, you had fans just waiting to go in and show up for Selection Sunday for those teams. Yeah, they were definitely placed. The entire thing was a travesty. There's no question about it. Because, like you said, you're sitting there and you're trying in your mind, trying to figure out who didn't make it as they go through alphabetically. And you're like, oh, I guess Louisville didn't make it. Right. And you're like, that's the thing. So took away that excitement. You saw it took away the excitement from the teams. Like, when they go to them, they cut to them, and you get that delay, and then all of a sudden they're cheering because they made it in and all. That was ruin two for them. And I don't get it. I don't understand why they decided to go this route. And God forbid they do anything similar next year. They have to know how terrible this was.
They got to read that. If you read the backlash and stuff like that, it was so funny. It was a tweet where a police department, not sure what police department it was, actually tweeted, if you're calling 911 about the broadcast, about the Selection Sunday show, nothing we can do about it. It was a Twitter storm. It's actually been stories done in newspapers about this disaster today. So,
Greg, you would appreciate my tweet. Did you see that? I'm so glad that the NCAA took the money they could be paying students and put it into this terrible production.
I did see that. I laughed at that tweet, actually. So not only that, guys. So that was like all terrible, right?
Yeah.
And that was creatively. But Turner, usually pretty good, technically was horrible.
Yeah, audio was off.
The audio was off. I'm sitting there texting with Jake, and I'm like, I do production for a golf show that's pretty popular around here. It's called 300 to Par.
Yeah.
You know whose audio's never off? Yours.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
Because I know what I'm doing. Frank knows what he's doing.
It's fabulous.
They delayed the audio for the studio, the live studio audience. They forgot to delay the video to match up.
Correct. That's exactly what happened. It was ridiculous.
Maybe they had the skeleton crew working that show.
Opinion of the show?
I'm sorry?
The bracketologist himself. Isn't he the guy on ESPN?
Joe Lunardi, yeah.
So Joe Lunardi had a horrible year, by the way.
He had
a brutal year.
He has one job.
And he was terrible. Arizona State,
you know who wasn't?
Miss. Syracuse, miss. What? Who was not?
Your boy joining you for the show today. Brad Evans got 67-68.
Nice.
Who did he miss? Syracuse?
I don't remember exactly who he missed. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Syracuse. Syracuse didn't deserve to be there.
He was Arizona State, probably. But yeah, like there's certain teams that I'm just like, I don't know how I'll start with that, right? Like I'll start with Syracuse. Mm. This is a team that has no business being in this tournament. And yet because they play the zone that these other teams don't recognize, they'll probably go to the Final Four. Syracuse has no business being in this tournament. They play Arizona State, I believe, on either Tuesday or Wednesday.
They play the play-in game?
Yeah.
Syracuse in the playing game.
No, Arizona State lines up for TCU.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Syracuse plays who?
Oh, so, yeah, they're in the playing game. Yeah, you're right. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I was right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so Syracuse.
That's a TV game. But that's a TV draw, though. Syracuse is a television draw.
Yes, they are.
Maybe up there. Nowhere else.
Nationally, Syracuse is a draw for sure. Jim Boeheim, the whole thing.
I mean, Arizona State, Syracuse is a much better playing game than some of these ones we've had in the past.
Well, you got two interesting, and then the other playing game between the high majors, other than like 16 seeds, we got the Bonnies of St. Bonaventure and UCLA.
And you see another.
Did the Bonnies have made it in?
I had no problem with the Bonnies being in. They had a really good year, the St. Bonaventure, I thought. So I had no, and they were scorching hot. St. Bonaventure and Davidson were both really, really hot. They ran into each other, and Davidson wound up going on to win the A-10 tournament yesterday. But the Bonnies are very, very hot. So I'm happy to see them get in. UCLA also playing better of late as well.
The conspiracy theory of why the three teams didn't get in, right?
Yes. So Louisville, USC, and who's the last
Oklahoma
one?
State.
And Oklahoma State all don't get in. All were bubble teams.
Which Oklahoma State deserved to be better than Oklahoma.
Exactly, but they was going to get Trae Young in that tournament.
Correct. Trae Young was in that tournament.
I think this is part of it, too. I honestly do think this is part of it. The NCAA is doing their little big guy shove people around thing.
So, of course, it was like with what was going on with the scandals.
Yeah, those are the three teams that got left out of. You don't want Rick Pitino in that show.
Well, he's not coaching.
Yeah, I know he's not coaching, but still.
Louisville is fringy anyway. USC and Oklahoma State. USC behind, not in instead of Syracuse is ridiculous. Oklahoma State in, not in, and Oklahoma being in is ridiculous. And there's other teams. Actually, both of those teams are better than a couple teams.
Well, did Arizona get penalized for the scandal?
Yeah, they're a four seed.
They should have.
They won the Pac-12 tournament, and they should be higher than a four seed. Absolutely.
Yeah. NCAA came out and tried to make a point too. This isn't your job. Your job isn't to make points with the tournament.
Thank you. I agree with Jake. I'm so sick of the NCAA. You feel what I'm saying? Horrible. But here's the thing about it: is come Thursday at noon, guess what? We all going to be into the NCAA's product for the next 3 weeks, and it's going to be packed houses. There's going to be amazing television numbers. Bars is going to be packed. People going to be drinking. It's going to be gambling. And the NCAA is going to win March.
Correct. As they always do. 100%.
Yep.
And they, I mean, what we're doing now, bashing, not the program itself, but like bashing like the seating and stuff, they love that.
Oh, yeah.
They love it.
That's what they do it. They do it this way so you can talk about it. They want you talking about the product. They know exactly what they're doing. I find that interesting. But when you get down to the hoops and the action, I like the fact that the Big East brings two number one seeds into this because it still shows you that the, you know, the Big East is still playing top-notch quality level of basketball. Anything outside of, like, you know, I'm looking at the top 16 seeded teams. It looks to be correctly done.
Yeah, that's not bothering me. I think Cincinnati's ranked a little bit high for me as a two seed.
Okay.
And they got very, very lucky with their draw. Like, there's no, I don't like Cincinnati, but there's like no one there.
Yeah.
In the bottom of that.
That's the thing, Greg.
At all.
I'm looking through this entire thing and how crazy and wide open this year is, and that there's no clear on favorite, and there's no like juggernauts.
Sure.
And then I'm going through my bracket, and it's like every questionable team got an easy draw, and it's like I'm getting down to my Sweet 16. I'm like, why do I have so many top end seeds? And it's just because the draws were really interesting, in my opinion.
Tournament has been chalky the past couple years.
Has it been? I guess Gonzaga and UNC last year, both one seeds. The year before that, Nova and UNC, probably both one seeds, I assume, because it's Nova and UNC. I know Nova was. And there you go. But it was cool to see Xavier as a one seed, kind of like that. It's that mid-major one seed that we see every year now, which is kind of cool with just State Gonzaga. Yeah. Xavier fills that one, even though they're not a mid-major.
Where's Alabama at?
Alabama's in a tough spot. So I'll tell you when we come back from break. They're a 9 seed against Virginia Tech. They face Nova in the second round. I know. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. I got to tell you a cool story, and then we'll dive into the bracket a little bit more, try to break some stuff down. Stick around. FST and FNTSY.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, cool story here. So as I said, the Bonnies wind up going on this run, getting into the tournament, which I felt good about. What was that?
St. Bonaventures.
Yes, the Bonnies.
It's a New York school.
Yes. Now, that E10 tournament yesterday, it ended with Davidson upsetting Rhode Island.
It's Davidson, Steph Curry.
Not anymore, but yes.
Rhode Island, Lamar Odom.
That's correct. Also not anymore, but yes. Danny Hurley, the coach of Rhode Island. E.J. Matthews, they've been very, very good, Rhode
Danny
Island.
Danny Hurley's the coach of Rhode Island?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's cool. Remember their coach used to be Harrick? That guy was a crook.
I've been to a couple of their football games back in the day. My friend who played for the Giants played there. It was a nice drive-up.
True story. I once went to a basketball camp where my coach was Danny Hurley.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Danny Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Hurleys well.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad this story actually involves another Hurley, Bobby Hurley.
Really?
Yes, it does.
Oh, shout out to Bobby Hurley.
So, when Rhode Island lost in the A-10 tournament, that means Davidson got the auto bid from the A-10, but Rhode Island took an at-large bid, because they were obviously good enough.
Yeah.
So Rhode Island took an at-large bid. That was Rhode Island's bid that they gave up. So they cost the team a spot.
They did.
Danny Hurley thought the spot that he cost was his brother Bobby's, who coaches Arizona State.
Yeah.
So when that stupid announcement in alphabetical order happens, and Arizona State comes on the board, they have a video watching the Rhode Island basketball team. And Danny Hurley goes, fist pump, starts screaming, and then starts uncontrollably crying, breaking down of happiness that he and his team's loss did not cost his brother.
That's pretty cool right there. So at least you got that situation out the way.
That was cool.
Basketball family like that. I did not know all that Bob Hurley was
Bobby,
coaching.
Bobby, not Bob.
The younger. Well,
yes, Bob's the father, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
He's not coaching college basketball.
No, of course not.
Bobby is.
Yeah, but Bobby, he's regular now, right?
No, he's still Bobby. He's still Bobby Hurley.
No, I mean, he's not, you know, the accident was bad.
Yes.
Yeah, so
he's okay now.
He'd have been in the NBA. He would have been a decent NBA player if it wasn't that accident.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I think so, too. So Bobby Hurley, coach of Arizona State, Danny Hurley, coach of Rhode Island, both in the tournament.
Yeah, but see, the thing for me is when you get that playing game, I don't know.
Well, there's four playing games now.
Yeah, no, I know. But now you got that playing game, and it's like...
Love it.
I mean, I would think people like to watch it, but you want to be the team that gets in, not yet to play that.
Well, to be honest, game. Sure, but I think you're in. I mean, we've seen a team go from the playing game to the Final Four. We've seen that before, which is cool, and that was VCU a few years ago did it. Now it happens, which is cool. Now, Jake, as pumped as Danny Hurley was that he got his brother still made the tournament. Do you know who him and his team shenanigans yesterday did cost?
Middle Tennessee State.
Incorrect. That's Mike Bray and Notre Dame.
Good for them.
Notre Dame, Corey, the team that was left out of this tournament because of Rhode Island's loss yesterday.
They would have been one and done anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Bonzi Colson's awesome.
I think Notre Dame has a good Notre Dame would have had a good case to be in the tournament, but that's the way it shakes down. Listen, some of these teams, you know, you got to make a deeper run in the conference tournament to secure your spot. It wasn't the case for the Fighting Irish this year.
Yeah, Irish said they are proud to go to the NIT with Maryland Terrapins. We're part of the first four out.
Yeah, well, sorry, Greg.
It's okay, man.
It's been a while. The glory years are gone.
First four out of the NIT. It's the Maryland Terrapins. All right. Before we get into the bracket, I do want to remind...
You couldn't even make the NIT.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's bad.
No.
They have another tournament they can play in?
There is. It's a CBI.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to do that.
All right.
Maybe there's another one behind that, too, now.
Really?
Yeah, there has been. There's like three of them now.
Well, behind the CBI?
Yeah. There's one of those ridiculous... It's like everybody just gets to play in a tournament nowadays.
They played Maryland and go to tournament, but AAU tournament.
They can do some scouting there.
Yeah, and some paying.
I do want to remind you.
I'll just get to paying people.
That Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going on. Right now, free entry in the March Madness bracket and their Sweet 16 bracket, along with a $100,000 home run derby, which comes up a little bit later on this year. Sign up and enter today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Let's get into the bracket, Core.
All right, let's get ready for it.
All right. So, where do you want to start?
The field of 64.
Let's start with that Villanova side in the East bracket, which takes place in Boston, Massachusetts.
Good spot for it. That's where the rounds one and two are at.
No, that's where
the regional is in TD Bank Center.
I believe it is.
All right, so somebody's going to go to the Final Four from TD Bank. All right, so that's cool. So what do we got right here?
So the top of the bracket, we got... One.
So, yeah, it's the CIT. I was looking up this entire time.
CIT. Jesus. Okay.
I got a question. Would you make this bet as a proposition out there?
Sure.
Will any number one seed team be behind or tied with a number 16 seed at halftime? So behind or tied, it's plus 400 for yes, minus 600 for no.
Ooh.
No.
You wouldn't make the bet?
No, I'm saying that I would, and my answer would be no.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that would be
It's not enough to get you.
Yeah, that'll do it for me.
But you never know. You could get one of these teams like a Villanova to come out there and be like, listen, we're going to be in the Final Four.
It's not Nova that would do it. It was Kansas that would do it.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely Kansas. You're 100% correct. But they might sleepwalk through the first half or something like that, then turn it on in the second half. All right, so what do we got? The Big East champs.
We got the Big East champs, the number one seed, Villanova Wildcats, arguably with a better team this year than the team that won the national championship just 2 years ago. They'll face the winner of LIU, that's Long Island University,
mm-hmm.
and Radford. The winner of that game will face Nova coming up on later this week on Thursday. So we all like Nova, I'm sure. And then you get to the first good game here at the tournament, 8-9 seed later that evening, Virginia Tech and Alabama. Colin Sexton versus Virginia Tech.
Yeah, this is right. Alabama, they got a raw deal with this one right here because Alabama should not be subject to see Villanova in the second round of the tournament. Because this Alabama team could play. If they were in another spot in an 8-9 or maybe going up against a Kansas or Xavier, they could have made some noise right there because that Sexton kid, he can play real good. He could peach real hard. He's ready to take the next step. So it's a bad look, but they're going to get Villanova in the second round, and maybe they could take Villanova deep into the game, but Nova's going to have too much for them. But Alabama got a bad draw.
All right. after
you would better draw, win more freaking games, Corey.
But Jay, come on now. The team got hot, played very good. The team got hot, played very good down the stretch. You want to see them? You don't want to see them going up against Nova this early in the tournament.
I do. Win more games.
All right.
Don't complain about being a 9 seed. Win more games.
This is SEC basketball we're talking about.
A lot of SEC crushed this tournament.
Yeah, they did, but they should have got a better slot.
I agree. Speaking of the SEC,
they should have won more games.
Not the SEC. I'll get it in a second. The next one here is West Virginia as a 5 seed face the aforementioned Murray State University.
There you go. Who we was hoping it was going to end up in the South, but they're in the East. West Virginia, here's the thing right here. This is, you keep forgetting these conferences get all maxed up. Big 12 team.
Yes, sir.
So, listen, they got some decent play right here. Obviously, Bob Huggins is the man on the sideline. Interesting to see how they're going to play it out. But Javon Carter, their senior guard, Javon Carter, he is the guy that this team runs through. So interesting to see how that goes going up against Murray State. And Murray State has a guard, Jay Morant, that is very good. It should be in the NBA.
The one thing I have about Huggins, he's a good coach and stuff, but he always seems to let you down in the tournament.
I don't know about that, because I think the tournament
maybe
actually...
Maybe Cincinnati days that I have in my mind.
Maybe so, because with West Virginia, I've always found that West Virginia is a very tough team to play because of that...
West Virginia has.
Very tough press. That very, very, very tough press that Huggins runs. So I actually like the 5 seed here, Jake. West Virginia over the 12. The 4-13 game is Wichita State and Marshall, Jake.
What do you want me to break it down?
I don't need to break it down. If you have any thoughts, great. If not, I'll move on.
Wichita State is a very good defensive team. Also, they're like a JV version of Virginia. They have some they play.
Yeah, let's put it this way: I'll give you the Marshall side of it. There's no chance Marshall wins this. They could barely get at a Conference USA, which is where ODU is. Which is, I know ODU should have. They had their open window and blew it with Middle Tennessee State losing. This isn't going to be one of the upsets. There's your analysis.
All right. See, that was really what we were looking for.
That was good.
That's my point here. Like, West Virginia, can they beat Wichita State?
That'd be a good game. All right, you got...
Wichita State is good defensively. They have a hard time scoring like Virginia.
Speaking of the SEC, Florida will face the winner of the Bonnies in UCLA. I kind of like UCLA and the Bonnies there, particularly the Bonnie, to get past Florida. Texas Tech and the... in this game is in Texas... And it's Texas Tech versus Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin University. I think Texas Tech makes some noise in this tournament, gentlemen.
We learned from last year. My buddy and I were talking about this over the weekend. Start looking at where these teams are playing. You just brought up about Texas. Look at the fact of what happened to Duke last year with South Carolina. Look at where these teams are playing and pay attention to it.
Absolutely.
The second weekend, too.
No doubt about it. So I like Texas Tech makes some noise. Chris Beard's a nice job there. Last couple games of this region is Arkansas versus Butler. And then the 2-seed, the Purdue Boilermakers, who I don't love, but I do like their road, Purdue versus somebody else.
I don't like
Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah, I don't like their road either. I don't like that team that much, to be honest.
I don't know where they're going to get trouble from.
Yeah, but they just don't do it for me. They seem like a team that could be knocked off. I've only seen them play once this year, and it kind of was on in the background. That's kind of really it. So I can't really break them down too much. But I know I just don't
like
Purdue.
Who cares about Purdue?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. get on TV that much.
I've watched a lot of Purdue.
Really?
Big Ten.
Okay, that makes sense.
I've watched a lot of Purdue. They're uneven,
aren't
man.
The ones with the dumb court where you're like, it's
no,
up
that's,
to your
that's,
chest
that's Vanderbilt. That's Vanderbilt.
And correction, the Big 14.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. There's that region for you. We'll continue on through our March Madness bracket here, hour number 2 of FST on FNTSY. Oh.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
All right, here we go. Continuing on, I remind you, every 3 minutes, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor within their family. That's how you can help. Go to DKMS.org/FNTSY today and sign up online and register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks and send it back to them. That's it. You are done. DKMS will then try and match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy. Best of all, you can actually save someone's life. Not metaphorically, quite literally. Check out DKMS.org/FNTSY to see how you can help. All right. The next bracket, Corey Parsons, the Midwest. That's twice in 2 segments.
Yeah, I'm rusty. So, no, you're Corey.
Throwing up a couple air balls today.
Kansas faces University of Pennsylvania, the Ivy League champs, for the first time in 11 years.
Really, Penn is the Ivy League champ.
First time in 11 years.
All right, so there you go right there. Shout out to Penn. Shout out to Philadelphia. It's not going to be no more upsets, though, Philadelphia. You can count this one out.
All right. Seton Hall and NC State. A tough draw, Jake, I thought, for Seton Hall.
Yeah, actually, I like NC State here. If you look all at right. the way they play, look at the fact that they knock off Duke, knock off UNC, yep. the way that they can play. I mean, they can show up. This is one of the teams that it'll be like, wow, they look pretty impressive, or they lost like 60-40 in the first round.
Yeah, I think so, too. Continuing on to the 12-5 matchup, Matt, you know that 12-5 breakdown is always a gimme for an upset somewhere. Is Clemson, New Mexico State one where you'll take a shot?
Taking New Mexico State. Is that the Lobos?
I think that's New Mexico.
Okay, well, close enough.
Yeah.
They play in the same state. There you go. Auburn and Charleston, Corey. Bruce Pearl returns to the tournament with Auburn.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl back in action. I think you got to like Bruce Pearl in this one, even though I wouldn't like to see Charleston win. But I think you got to go Bruce Pearl in that squad right there. Bryce Brown getting it done. Bryce Brown might be Jelly fan. He might be from a New Yorker. I think he might be. He's their guard, Bryce Brown. He's kind of the catalyst of that team. He's where the offense comes through.
In your next matchup, you got TCU against Arizona State or Syracuse, the winner of that game. And what's interesting there in that Friday matchup is that normally you get Syracuse, as I said, in the tournament, go to the Final Four because of that zone. But the coach of TCU is Jamie Dixon, who has faced Jim Boeheim countless times in the Big East with Pittsburgh. So Jamie Dixon is going to have at least some idea what to do behind that zone.
Yeah, not to mention the fact TCU is a team that can get hot from three-point range.
Yeah.
And teams that can get hot from three-point range, you're never going to blow them out. They're always going to be in the game. And if the shots start falling in the second half, they could be dangerous.
Totally agree.
And they're playing. And what region are they in? Midwest. Okay, I thought they might have been home game.
They're playing in Detroit, so that's good news for Michigan State.
Oh, Little Caesars Arena? Pizza.
That's good news for Detroit, for Michigan State, who's also in this region. Michigan State will face Bucknell in the first round.
Bucknell, see you later.
In the bottom of this region, you have Rhode Island and the aforementioned Oklahoma Sooners and Trey Young. Jake, you have said you don't believe Oklahoma deserves to be in this tournament.
No, they definitely don't deserve to be here. That being said, I think this is an intriguing 7-10 matchup because if Trey Young gets hot, it's kind of like you look at the tournaments, and if you can get one or two players on a team showing up, especially one of them that could be Trey Young, this could be a 10. This would be a 7-10 upset, but the thing here is I'm just looking at this region and saying, all right, let's just get to Michigan State, Duke, and let's go.
Yeah,
I'm going with Rhodey the Ram.
You like Rhodey the Ram? I like Rhodey the Ram as well. I think they're just better than Oklahoma. I think the Rams are good. I like Rhode Island. Corey, you're giving me a face here.
It's like this. Like, I gave the Trae Young kid a hard time, but when you look at it, since he became like this guy that people know, really all teams are doing is double-teaming him, and they can't do nothing else without him. He's the only one that can score. So if he can get some help from his other teammates, kind of slack back off of him a little bit, then I can see it happening. But if he has to go out there and play hero ball, they will be upset. Well, they will lose. They won't be upset because they're the 10 seed.
Yeah. So there you go. Let's move on to the next region. That is the West region.
Boo!
You don't like the West region?
This is where the hated Duke Blue Devils are, correct?
Nope, that was where the Midwest was.
No, sorry.
That's where
Duke
we were
and
just
Iona. We just did that. Duke and Iona. I skipped Duke versus
I was about
Iona.
To say, you didn't say Duke versus Iona. I was going to pick Iona.
Are you?
I just to the part where I said, let's skip ahead and get to Duke, Michigan State.
He said
just
that, so I skipped. That's why I skipped
who's
right
winning
over
that matchup?
Duke Iona?
No, Duke, Michigan State.
I don't know, man. You think Michigan State wins that matchup?
No, I was filling in the rest of it. When you said Iona, I was filling in the rest of what he was asking. I think this is I hate Duke, but I will tune in 100% no matter where I am for this game, because if it is Duke, Michigan State, I have no clue either.
Yeah, I mean, this is really
tough. I'll go with the Brotherhood.
I think the winner
of Michigan State.
I'll say this. I think the winner of that game goes to the Final Four.
I agree.
I think the winner of that game goes to the Final Four. Michigan State.
Over Kansas,
yeah. Michigan State has already beaten Duke this year. Mm-hmm. If that means anything. So Michigan State and Duke, I'm not sure who I have there quite yet. Over to the West, which you booed, is where the North Carolina Tar Heels reside. And they are
an easy draw.
They are the number two seed in this region. We'll start with the top, though, the number one seed. That's Xavier. Xavier, the Musketeers, face a 16 seed. Following that, they will face the winner of the 8-9 game, Missouri and Florida State. Corey.
Yep, the Seminoles getting to the tournament. Pretty solid season for them. Missouri, Florida State. This one right here is real tough to call. You got two teams about as evenly matched as two teams in the tournament. So I would give the slightest of edge to Missouri. I wonder what the spread is on that.
We could certainly probably look that up for you. Is Michael Porter playing mean anything to you, Jake?
Obviously, it helps. But I don't know that it really makes. Not from the matchup perspective, where I think you got a favorite here, but I definitely. Put it this way, I would have picked much easier, and I don't think that they would have got an A seed if it wasn't for the fact.
See, Mike, the Michael Porter kid, I wish we can get Dr. A on before we fill out our brackets, because they got an inside injuries, got A on.
Technically, you do. I have him on Thursday. We'll have Tracy Hankin on Thursday morning before brackets lock.
We should get ask some about Michael these players Porter. That have some interest going into the tournament.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of people saying he shouldn't even be playing.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing about
We'll ask Tracy about Michael Porter.
Fooling with him could throw the chemistry off, but he can play, though. But he's not healthy.
Absolutely. All right, continuing on, Ohio State and South Dakota State. I like Ohio State. Chris Holtman has done a nice job there coming over from Butler. But South Dakota State's a team that makes noise in the tournament every single year. They are a veteran-laden team. They could win this game.
Yeah, they could win this game. This Buckeye team is not as good as a lot of Buckeye teams have been in the past. They've kind of overachieved to this point. They could very well get knocked off.
Jake, any love in that 12-5 matchup?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still with Ohio State.
You're sticking with Ohio State as well, Matt. All right, continuing on. Gonzaga versus UNC Greensboro.
The Zags.
Yeah, I'm with you. Next one, out west, very good matchup here. Houston and San Diego State. This is going to be a good game, I think, gentlemen. I watched a lot of both of these teams this week during Champ Week, which it's now called.
but you did not like that.
I don't like it.
I like both these teams. Kelvin Sampson gets his team back in the tournament. I like Kelvin Sampson. I like Houston. Don't love the draw for Houston. I like Houston, Jake.
Really? I actually don't have a problem. I think that Houston actually gets past Michigan.
Oh yeah, so that's what I said. I like Houston,
I think it's going to be easier than what you do. I think this is going to be an easy matchup, but you disagree.
How come?
I see Houston going through two, because I just think Houston's got the bodies for it too. After watching them over the weekend in that tournament, I think they got the power. They got the strength underneath, and I think they got the shot makers to balance that out.
Yeah, and by the way, as you said, North Carolina, nice easy draw. They play in Charlotte, Carolina in the 2:15 game, and then the 7:10 Providence and A&M. I really, really like Providence.
Providence is tough,
but it's in Charlotte, which is not very fair.
A&M.
Well,
you're talking when they move ahead. Well, yeah, but
even so, here's the thing you have to look for North Carolina. You'll know this as a North Carolina fan too, Corey, is what I've said all year long. What you didn't want to see if you're a North Carolina fan is a team that can shoot threes. This entire bracket has like one team that can shoot threes. Like it's all up top. They don't have to worry about Providence, who can't shoot the outside ball. Houston's got the bigs. They don't like shoot the outside. Like UNC could just walk through as long as everybody's fine, because you need somebody that can rebound but be able to shoot threes against this team, and they avoided all that.
Yeah, and the thing, now Providence can knock them down, but they're very streaky, so you don't want to really depend on that. This bracket is about the Tar Heels and the Wolverines. When those two teams get together, correct, that's going to be a massive television game.
I think it's going to be Houston. I think Houston's knocking off the Wolverines.
Jake said that. I don't think Houston can beat Michigan. The Michigan North Carolina game, I think the winner of that game is this bracket's Final Four representative.
I'm going with Michigan.
Matt Madika, not a Tar Heel.
No, not a Tar Heel.
All right. We got one more region to go. It's the South bracket. It's Virginia, the number one overall seed in this tournament. Arguably the best Virginia team we've seen from Tony Bennett.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at this bracket, and I hate to say this. I think Virginia's going to the Final Four.
I think you're right about that. You got Virginia. The 8-9 game there is Creighton and Kansas State.
Nothing.
Creighton.
Yeah, sure.
I think Arizona just shoves it in everybody's face.
We'll look at that in a moment. Kentucky Davidson at 12-5. I like Davidson.
Really?
I think Davidson offsets Coach Cal.
That'd be cool. I'd be down with that.
I believe it, man. Yeah. I believe it. I think Davidson's good. I don't like this Calipari team. I know they won it, obviously, that won the SEC tournament. I like Davidson. Throwing it out there.
Not one of Calipari's best teams.
No.
They've been playing better. You talk about to the end of the season. They're playing better towards the end of the season.
Yes, they are. Absolutely. I just don't like them. The 4-13 game, as Matt said, Arizona. You got Arizona. I like them to get to the Sweet 16. Miami versus Loyola Chicago.
Upset.
Yeah, I'm taking Loyola here, too.
Really? You guys both like Loyola?
Miami seemingly always goes cold shooting in the tournament. And like, look at that team. Who's going to step up and take care of that if that happens? Nobody.
Jim Larranaga is hard to sleep on. Jim Larranaga, you know the team is going to be prepared. I've seen them win some big games throughout the course of the season also. If Bruce Brown is healthy, then I think Miami has a shot here.
I agree with you. Tennessee and Wright State. Rick Barnes, a coach of Tennessee. A former Texas coach.
Yes, former Texas coach. Did Rick Barnes coach Kevin Durant?
Rick Barnes absolutely coached Kevin Durant.
Yes, he did.
Absolutely. Bottom of the bracket, you got Texas and Nevada. Shaka Smart sneaks in. And Cincinnati and Georgia State. When we come back, the group will give you their final four and your champion. And we will wrap up the first 2 hours of FST here in FNTSY.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Nobody has more catches than Jarvis Landry. And when you have Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman on the outside and an up-and-coming tight end like Njoku, and then you put a Barkley back there, Tyrod Taylor possibly make a playoff run for a wild card.
They've provided a lot of skill position players for Hugh Jackson, Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Tyrod Taylor now at quarterback.
I mean, how long can you suck for?
If this team starts 0-2, Hugh Jackson needs to be going by week 3.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Right back with you here on FST, FNTSY. I want to remind you that the fan-controlled fantasy league is making fantasy football a reality. Like a real-life version of Madden, fans will vote on all personnel decisions and play calls in real time. What the fans say goes. You'll scout players, draft rosters, hire coaches, and even design your team logo, all through a crowdsourced vote made possible through blockchain technology. A public leaderboard will even show which fans have the highest football IQ, and the best performing fans will be eligible for many prizes, including a cut of the $1 million championship purse. Visit FCFL.io to learn more. The FCFL, where you are in control. All right, final five, gentlemen.
This is early to ask for final fours, Greg.
Well, your initial final four. You don't have to lock this
in. Okay, I don't have to lock this in?
Absolutely not.
All right.
I know you are
sheet of integrity.
Sheet of integrity man,
yep.
As am I.
Good.
So I have my initial final four. This is your first reaction. I just filled it out very quickly. Got a lot more research to do. Give me your final four, Corey.
All right, I'm going to go with the Villanova. Right? This is first run through. I'm going to go Villanova. All right? I'm going to go Michigan State. I'm going to go North Carolina. And I'm going to go Virginia.
Okay. For me, I'm very similar. I think the only difference I have with you is I have Duke over Michigan State. The other three are all the same. Virginia, Villanova, North Carolina. I'm back and forth between Duke and Michigan State right now.
Okay.
Right now, I have Duke. That's my final four. Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, and Villanova. Jakey.
Yeah, I don't like having North Carolina there, but I told you that region just worked out well for them. I was going to have them ready to go down in the Sweet 16 or even earlier, but as of right now, again, same thing with you guys at Villanova. Actually, my first run through, I have Villanova as the champions. But so Villanova, Kansas, UNC, and Arizona.
All right, so Corey and I were just talking about this during the break. There's no way the NCAA will allow Arizona to get to the Final Four, given the probe of Sean
Miller.
They
can't control that.
They
can't control that.
Oh, they certainly can. They certainly can control it.
No, they can't. And they can't control the fact that UVA can't score over 70 points unless they're playing Louisville.
That's probably true also. Right now, I have my champions actually also Villanova, Jake. I thought Villanova, as I said, kind of in the open. I believe they are the... arguably better than
you want to really
tick
off the NCAA? If you're talking about the two teams facing each other, I have Arizona beating UNC and being in the championship game. That really tick off the NCAA.
Arizona would play UNC in the Final Four, not the championship.
Yeah, I said that beating UNC
to get to the championship. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Who's your champion right now, Corey?
Right now,
North Carolina Tar Heels.
No, it's not going to be North Carolina Tar Heels. Right now, my sheet of integrity, first run through, not official.
Absolutely not.
My champion is Michigan State, who also not a good look.
No. Honestly, I'm probably just going to let Duke win this thing.
The brother like team. That's the problem.
What's up, Jake?
I said they got to play like a team. That's their problem. Yeah. They're still not playing like a team.
Speaking of, Grayson Allen. Again.
Hey, after all these years, my buddy is a diehard Duke fan. I finally got to him admit that he's a dirty player. Finally.
And you know what? He's a senior, right? Like, in my opinion, Coach K should have shown him to the wolves after the game.
No, he didn't. Of course not. Coach K love him. They love that stuff. They talk about – let me tell you something about Grayson Allen. He's a competitor.
Sure.
He competes. I'll give him that. He competes. He would be a nice fit on the NBA team. Grayson Allen's the type of dude you want him on your team.
No, I don't.
I agree. He's a POS. But if you're his teammate, you love him. That's the thing about him.
I don't know that you do.
I think that's the case.
I don't know that you do.
I agree. He's a POS. You know what I mean? He won't do that in the NBA because somebody smacked fire out of him.
You'll have more March Madness coverage this afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, on the radio, on YouTube. Craig Carton leads off our coverage, but myself, Mike Blewett.
You're not leading it?
Brad Evans, Gamer NC, and Blackjack Fletcher. It's 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, the DKMS 2018 March Madness special right here. Corey, Matt, and Jake will continue on for FST OT, and that comes your way next.